What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Hope you guys are having a great Friday. Before we get to the episode with Coach Brandon Reyes, it's going to be a great episode to listen to. I just want to give you a couple of announcements that are coming up. One, next Friday, we will not have a traditional episode of the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast. Instead, we're taking the show on the road live. We will be live in video and audio at the NHSSCA, so the National High School Strength Coaches Association National Conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Yes, we will be live in person and video with the show from the National Conference itself. Mark Hoover, if you guys know Mark, he's also a high school strength coach out of South Carolina. He is going to be with me. We are representing Simply Faster in their booth up at the National Conference, and as one of the partners of the NHSSCA, and we are going to be going live on YouTube, okay? Live on YouTube. The Simply Faster channel is where you'll need to see it, okay? What will we be doing there when we're live? We're going to be sitting down, rolling live, and we're going to chop it up with every person that wants to come down and hang out and talk shop. It's going to be really cool. Any coach that walks by, you might catch Gary Schofield. You might catch Garrett Keith. You might catch Micah Kurtz. You might catch Missy Mitchell McBeth. You might catch Ryan Johnson. There's so many great coaches that are going to be there that might want to sit down for 5 minutes and talk. You get to catch that live and in person, and even may have a chance to ask some questions while we're there on the live YouTube feed. At the same time, there'll be some partner mini sessions going on where we're going to be showing off the VMAX Pro, because the Simply Faster is going to be giving out 3 VMAX Pros on a raffle. That's what they do at the NHSSCA, is that we help out the people that are doing the dirty work and working as hard and giving them the resources. So Simply Faster is partnered with the NHSSCA to give away 3 VMAX Pro velocity-based tracking devices. And yes, you do have to be present in Minneapolis to receive it. So while we're there, Mark's going to be doing a great job of displaying and demonstrating right there with a barbell and an iPad of exactly how the device works. You can ask any questions. And while he's running those sessions, we'll be live in person in video. He'll be mic'd up. You'll be able to see anything and everything you want to know about the VMAX Pro and why it's such a great tool and why we both use it. It'll be great for him to actually be able to see somebody using it, and you can see what's going on the iPad and watch the workflow and why it's so great to have and easy to use and why you should go get you one. So hopefully you guys can see that. The times of when we're going to be live, so you guys know, it'll be Friday, June 25th in the evening from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then Saturday morning afternoon, we'll be live from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. for another partner session there. So there's 2 hours there that you can catch us on YouTube on the Simply Faster channel. Go there and you can see it there. We'll be marketing it. I'll be marketing it. Mark will be marketing it. Mark will be marketing it. Simply Faster, look on their social media channels as well. We'll be pushing out on how to get their links and so forth on how to do that. It's going to be a great time. Also, I'm going to use those opportunities for those videos that you'll be able to go back and catch it. In case you can't get it live, it'll be saved on that channel that you guys can go check that out. And also, we'll use some of those awesome small chats and we'll put them in a special episode here on the podcast as well. So super excited to see you guys live and in person on YouTube next Friday and Saturday up in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Coach Ryan Johnson's high school. It's going to be a great experience. So also, if you ever want to see anything else of me, go check out my website at clhstrength.com. It's live and ready to roll. If you want to find out anything and everything about me, you know, blog about me, I've got my newsletter up there. You can sign up for any article I've ever written that is published. You can find it in one spot. And also any product, service, or course that I offer is also right there on the website. And the products that I offer include my popular programming template that over 200 coaches have bought at this point to make things easier and speed up your process of writing your program and printing it and getting it to your athletes. Any of my strength and conditioning ebooks that I've written, including my program design ebook, my in-season training ebook, and even my Maximizing the Clean ebook. You can pick those up all in one spot if you want to go check those out and see if any of those resources can really help you in what you do every day with your athletes or your clients. You can also check out my newsletter. This is what I really, really suggest you guys go do. If you go to my website, clhstrength.com/newsletter, And even it'll pop up when you go to the website. If you sign up for my newsletter, guys, it's not going to be like any other newsletter where you're getting pitch stuff all the time and always stuff that this, that, and another. This is going to be for insider guys that want to hear more from me and see what we're talking about constantly, give you freebies here and there. Also, announce podcast episodes, give you free things here and there for resources that might not necessarily always be free. And also you'll always have, if you join my newsletter, you automatically get a discount from every product or service I'll ever have for life. That's one thing that in order to show appreciation, you'll also get. Also, if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll also get a free Training Max Estimation Guide PDF on me. It's something that you can get just for exchange for your email. If you'll whitelist my email, it won't go to your spam. And guys, like I said, I'm not going to spam you all the time. I don't send you emails every day. I'm not always trying to pitch you on something. I'm going to help add value to your day. Hopefully you can read it. It's short and sweet, and just stay updated with what we're doing and what I'm doing and other things with Simply Faster and other things like that. So if you go to clhstrength.com and check that out, I would greatly appreciate it. Also, please share the podcast with friends. Okay. Screenshot it, tag me. Tag Simply Faster. We'll share it. We'll retweet it. We'll put it to our story on Instagram. If you'll do that, that would be awesome. My social media handle is CLH_strength. So we can get this out to more people as much as possible. So really appreciate you guys hearing in on that. But without further ado, let's get to the great episode with Coach Brandon Reyes. Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, brought to you by Simply Faster, the industry's leading sports technology and coach education platform. Check out their products and their coaching blog at simplyfaster.com. That's SimplyFaster.com. Today, I got the honor of chopping it up with assistant strength conditioning coach and sports science coordinator for Army West Point football, Brandon Reyes.
Welcome to the Student Athlete Preparation Podcast, hosted by high school strength and conditioning coach Cody Hughes. This ain't your normal podcast, y'all. He's bringing real discussions about real strategies to improve the student athlete development and preparation process. New episodes every Friday with guests who are all about keeping it real. It'll warn you now. You might get your feelings hurt. The mics are on and the takes are hot. Enjoy this episode. Here's your host, Cody Hughes.
Be Nasty, what's good, man?
What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking the time to hop on and chop it up with me today. Honestly, so before you guys know, he's Coach B. Reyes or whatever on Twitter now and Instagram, but he used to be B. Nasty. Yo, who gave you that nickname? Where'd that come from?
That's crazy. I got asked that a lot when it was still there, and that was like, I remember when I had first made my Twitter, it was like probably in middle school.
Right,
And I was sitting there with some buddies, and I was like, dude, I don't know what to put as a name. Like, I mean,
it's got to be fire, bro. You got to come up with something fire.
He's like, just hand me your phone. And he made it. And I was like, all right, whatever, cool. We're going to ride with it. And then ever since then, it was just easy because I knew no matter what site it was on, I could put that same one in and it wasn't going to be taken. So yeah. I'm going to just keep it the same. And then at some point, I was like, I probably should get away from that, make it a little more professional, you know, but
that's great.
But it was hard to get away from, man, to tell you the truth. But
yeah, it's awesome. Well, man, Brandon and I have known each other for, let's say, 2 or 3 years now, kind of from afar. We kind of had some crossover coaching tree mentors. I was at West Alabama at the same time he was at West Florida. Our teams played each other in the third round of playoffs in football the year that they won the national championship, you know, or the head strength coach, Ken Morgan, was really close with Joe Boyd at West Alabama. We'd hang out at conferences and stuff. It's kind of how we met. So really glad to have you on, man. We're going to have a great conversation here. I really want you guys to hear what he has to say. I mean, he works for one of the best military academies, you know, that we have, right? And the way they do things there is very intriguing. And I think a lot of my audience and a lot of coaches need to hear what you have to say. So, and we're just going to hop into that. There's something very interesting that I see you guys post. You, Coach Hughes, all the guys on your staff at Army talking about the last of the hard.
Right. And understand that at Army, you're training to win football games, but it just seems different, right? Anybody that's been in Army Navy, it's a bucket list item for most people. It is for me to be able to witness that game and to see what it means. Before we go into your background a little bit, Brandon, I'm just going to pop it off. What does Last of the Hard mean to you guys?
Yeah, so Last of the Hard is something that Coach Monk started when he got here, and really his whole motivation behind it was he wants guys that choose hard. He wants the tough guys, and you know, and it's not, you know, we talk about it sometimes, like, it's not necessarily the loudest guy in the room. It's not the guy that's, you know, the big rah rah guy, but he wants the guys that are going to go out of their way to choose the hard things, choose the gritty things, do things the right way. And in essence, that's what it is. And that goes down to how our staff recruits, the type of kids that we go after. We go after guys that, you know, because regardless of the academy they choose to go to, you go to any of the three academies, like, you respect those kids because they're making a commitment. So a lot of what they do is hard anyway.
Yeah.
But at Army, there's an extra level to that. You know, their field training is a whole nother level of hard. It's, you know, their daily stuff that they have to go through is unbelievable. The stressors that they go through, the academic stress they have to go through, you know, it's not for people. It's not for people that aren't cut out for it, you know, and it's not that, you know, you're soft because you can't do it, but you have to be hard to be able to do it. And that's kind of the whole motivation and meaning behind it is we're the last of the hard. We're the guys that in a world where everything is kind of going towards, we want to make it easier. We want to make it more streamlined and easy and have a shortcut to doing things and the shortcut to success. We're going to go the opposite way. We want the last guys that are going to hold the line, the last guys to run, you know, the guys that are going to choose those small details, and they're going to lock in on those things and buy into that, because ultimately that's how we win games. You know, with the way, the style of offense we play, you know, all those kind of things, you have to be one unit that's doing things fundamentally sound, be the toughest team, you know, all those things that Coach Monken preaches, and we echo those things. So It's easy for us because he's laid out such a great model for us to follow. And it's really easy to kind of get that into our guys. Cause like I said, that's the kind of kids we recruit. So as a strength coach, man, it doesn't get any better. Cause you know, we don't deal with accountability. Our guys are going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, our guys are going to work hard, you know. Now it's about really dialing into technique, really dialing into fundamentals, what your mentality is, things like that. So that Last of the Hard, we really own that. It's on, you know, all of our shirts. You know, they got them on the championship rings. I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we truly buy into being Last of the Hard. And man, I've never seen, especially through a year as last year with all the things that went on, you know, from the social justice issues and the, you know, that really impacted our guys mentally, because they were here by themselves and they were just kind of getting bombarded by that and didn't really have any outlet on top of the COVID stuff. I've never seen a group of guys that are just, they just keep getting hit with stuff and they just boom, next thing.
Yeah.
You know, they may be down for a minute, boom, next thing. And it's nothing gets them. And so that's that don't flinch, Last of the Hard mentality. And they really own that. So.
Yeah, man. I wanted to set that up before we went into your background, because we're going to come back to that. It's so important. I almost feel like that's the name of this episode, because we really need to talk about that, about how doing hard things is important, and that we shouldn't get away from that. And you've seen, so I'm saying, you, how many games you guys win last year? What did you guys go last year? You played.
We were 9-3 last year, including the bowl game.
Yeah. So I mean, win 9 games. I mean, golly, it sounds. Did you guys beat Navy, right?
Yeah, beat Navy and Air Force last year, back to back.
Yeah,
like, both at home. First time it's ever happened.
So. Yeah, amazing. In the kind of year you had. So, like, we're gonna go back to when you started coaching, right? So, take me through your journey and what you've seen, where you started coaching, because you started in high school, worked your way into where you're at now, and just give me like the short version, the expedited version of your experience as a coach and where you're at now, and just a couple things you took from each spot.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, like I got my start in high school really young. You know, I was 19 years old. I mean, like, I was young. You know, I kind of went into my undergrad thinking I wanted to do like the kind of PT route and do that. Quickly realized like the school stuff was not really what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
What didn't really want to sign up for that kind of thing. So, you know, I started kind of looking around really early on, and I knew like, you know, at the time I was really competitive in Olympic weightlifting. I kind of enjoyed that. And I was like, you know, what can I use? What kind of skills can I use to put that into action and set me up for something down the road? You know, I didn't want to do just traditional personal training, I guess, you know. And then, you know, I believe it or not, I think it was a old video of Scott Cochran just yelling back in the day that I was like, man, that looks like probably the funnest job like you could ever.
Yeah, man.
I was like, man, you just get to hang out with the guys and train the guys all day. So I started looking, I'm like, you know, like, how do you get into this? So, you know, what's it take? And everything was saying intern. And you know, I'm like a freshman in college, and I'm like, yeah, I could go intern in the summer. I was like, but really financially, like I just don't know how I could do that. You know, like I'm trying to trying to get myself through college. I don't, you know, I don't really have the financial network to be able to go back and you know, go spend 3 months somewhere else and all those kinds of things. So, you know, I'm kind of like, what can I do? So I kind of worked at a gym for a little bit. I'm thankful to have a great boss that hired me there. Kind of got me started, taught me a lot. And then from there, I was like, you know, what can I do to try to start working with teams? And so I had some connections at a high school, and one of the weightlifting coaches, because weightlifting is a sport down in Florida. And, mm-hmm. and he was like, hey man, I'm going back to the middle school. Like, would you be interested in, you know, helping out or even taking over the weightlifting program? I was like, dude, absolutely. That'd be awesome. And at this time I hadn't really considered like being on the football side of it, but I was like, yeah, I want to do it. He's like, all right, we'll set it up. We'll meet with the principal and everything. And I knew the principal he was my like middle school principal. So I had connections there. And I go down there and I'm 19 years old and I, you know, I dress up nice and I go sit down there and not thinking it was going to be like this. I'm meeting the entire administrative board there. And they're like, okay, what do you want to do? Why do you want to do this? And so like, I'm going just kind of like off the cuff. I'm just like, hey man, like this is what I think I can bring. You know, this program has not been very good in the past couple of years. It's been, you know, it has the capability because we've done it in the past to be really successful, you know, especially from the weightlifting side of things. Like, in order to do that, it needs to be long term. You know, I would like to be able to train the football team as well because a lot of those guys are going to lift. And then that kind of just segued into, well, why don't you train football too? And then it was like, look, you guys don't have anything to lose. Like, nobody's really kind of running now. It's just kind of somebody's doing it in their part time. You know, like, I'll come out. I need the experience. I'll come out. If you can find anything to pay me, sure, whatever. But like, I want to come out and I want to do this. I want to see what I can do. And it was great. I mean, luckily they gave me a chance, and I had a great head coach when I was there, and spent that whole summer, drove an hour there every morning, set everything up by myself. It was super hot and no AC in the weight room at the time.
You're doing hard things, man.
Yeah, no doubt. and it was gritty. And we had those, and the kids in that area had weightlifting in middle school and things like that. So they kind of knew their way around the weight room. So it made my job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And I did that and we went through that year, won a game. And like, it was awesome. Like, you know, we didn't win a lot of games, but like the mentality of that team changed that year. And it wasn't just because of me. I mean, we had a great group of guys and they bought into everything and the coaches were great. But the kids got tough that year. They started believing they could win, things like that. And for me, that was kind of like, that was a little bit of a light bulb. It's like back to what I was used to, you know, from high school and things like that. Like, do things well, do things that are hard. Like, you're not going to get better by not doing that.
Right.
So kind of fast forward, you know, after that season, I actually got approached by another weightlifting coach in Pensacola. And he worked at Booker T. Washington. And, you know, it just so happened the head coach was there that day. He's like, yeah, go talk to the head coach. The head coach ended up being Charlie Ward. So,
you know, Yeah.
Wow. So I just ended up walking up to Charlie Ward that day and had a conversation. And he's awesome and great guy. I mean, cared about those guys so much. And he was awesome. And he's like, yeah, let's interview next week, and interviewed and kind of same deal there. And, you know, he got me a little bit of money and just for my time, which was great. But I mean, that was always a bonus for me. Like it was opportunity. It's experience that I could put on my resume. And back then, like, I didn't know how the industry worked. I didn't even know if that experience would count.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I knew that like for me as a coach, it would.
You just needed to get some hours under your belt to coach.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I went there and found myself, you know, it was a completely different situation. A lot of kids from some bad areas and, you know, had really bad home lives. And, you know, there was they had no experience really in a weight room prior to that. So for me, I'm coming back and I'm scrapping everything and going back to the bare bones of it and just kind of going from there. And it worked out really well. And kind of the same thing, like it was a lot about getting them to understand just a different mentality and the, you know, the doing things hard, doing things the right way, you know, holding kids accountable, you know, getting into it with the guys, because like, hey, look, your foot's on the line. Like you're doing this. Like we told you how to do this warm up. Let's do it the right way. And I know that's a big thing now is everybody doesn't want to do that. But when you're talking about, especially with kids that don't, you know, they got bad home lives. They may not have a dad at home. And I think like 80% of our kids that year didn't have a father figure at home, which is a huge number.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so that's like, I'm walking in the door and one of the assistant coaches telling me that. And so, you know, you're there, you're trying to support and love on these guys at the same time. It's like, dude, we're going to hold the standard here. Like there's a reason why we haven't won games. And it's because we're not doing the little things right. We have plenty of talent. We're not doing the little things right. And so that's where we kind of hit it off. And that's where we started. And they won a couple games that year and it just, it meant the world to them. And I was like, dude, you guys got to understand this, what it is. And even from the camps in the summer, it'd be like, you know, something would happen. They'd be, you know, another team would celebrate on another field and they're looking over there. I'm like, dude, why are you guys looking over there? Like you should be totally invested in what we're doing. Like before every game, like no matter where we're at, we're home or away. I'm like, dude, these guys are here to play us. We're not here to play anybody else. They're always here to play us. No matter how good they are, no matter how bad we are, they're here to play us every single time. And that needs to be the mentality. And so that was an awesome experience. I mean, not just from the logistics side of, you know, planning the strength and conditioning stuff, but like just being around coaching and being around, you know, understanding how to talk to kids and things like that. And it was huge for me. And then right around that time, right after that season, I started like full-time intern with West Florida. I was finishing up my undergrad. So I was kind of going back and forth between there and doing things. And Ken Morgan was awesome. And he kind of mentored me a lot. And then I was kind of looking for what my next step was going to be. If I was going to try to take an internship somewhere. And he was like, well, I got a GA spot coming open. And, you know, I don't know. Like, I know your plans are to eventually go back to football. He's like, but if you stay here, you're going to get experience with different sports. It's going to make you a better coach. And I'm so happy I made that decision to stay.
Yeah.
Because he gave me so much responsibility and ownership over my teams. Let me have a lot of input on football and really kept me involved and everything. And it made me such a better coach. And even there, like a lot of the same theme that we're talking about, we saw there at West Florida, you know, you saw firsthand that 2017, they go to the national championship and lose in the national championship. And then, the following year was my first year as a GA and, you know, we go 6-5 and just teams loaded with talent, didn't make the playoffs, teams loaded with talent. You know, no reason we shouldn't have won a bunch of games. And yeah, I remember I was sitting there with the other guys, Jay and with Jake, and we're just like, man, this next year, like we're just going to have to step it up. Like, you know, we're going to do whatever we can, you know, inside of our role and take absolute ownership over every single thing that we do and push our guys as hard as we can within our limits. Because we didn't do that this past year. You know, we don't know where it happened, but somewhere along the line, somebody didn't do that. And we took the ownership of trying to do that and trying to lead from the bottom and kind of push up through there and do things like that. And everything fell together. We had some great kids come in and play for us the following year, but we held the line, you know, and ultimately that's what it comes down to. Cause we weren't more talented or less talented the following year. You know, you always have guys leave and come in. But that next year we took pride in everything that we did. We pushed guys, we found ways to get under their skin and kind of continue to motivate them and do things, you know, within the program constraints there and all those things. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's always going to be the talent level. There's always going to be the coaching and there's always that. But at the end of the day, like if you can't say that you're holding your standard, then, and the guys believe in it, then there's always going to be something missing. No matter how good the other things are, there's always going to be a question mark around that.
You really think that was the difference of those 2 years? Like, if you really dig deep and reflect of the team that went 6-5 and then the following year is when you won it, right?
Yeah. Like I said, we had some kids that come in and
get it. Absolutely ball. Of course. Yeah.
But
I get it.
But definitely, like we have, you know, Coach Shinnick had a great model for what he wanted for the team. And And so what we did was, like, we looked at it was, how can we hold the line on our standards even harder, to the point where it was almost, if we're going to hold it too hard to where that we're just kind of being like strict on certain things. And then he has to say something like, yeah, we'll take that. I'll eat that. If that's what it means, because right. I'm at this point, I'm not going to take any chances. And yeah, I definitely believe that gave us the ability to be more resilient at different times.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, we went on the road for 5 straight games in the playoffs. I mean,
crazy.
West Florida has never played a home playoff game. And
the trap tour, you know, man, so, I'll never forget it.
Trap tour, that was it. That's it. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely the difference. I mean, just the mentality. There was no bickering between the team that there was the previous year. You know, there was none of that. There was no guys pulling different ways. Everybody was more cohesive, and that's a testament to our guys. But like, it was also, we wanted to get that out. We told the guys at multiple times. We were honest with them. Like, look, this is why we lost games last year. We had guys that were pulling different ways. They were causing division in the team. You know, we want to make sure we're cohesive. And that place is one of the best family atmospheres of college football that there is. And Coach Shinnick and Coach Morgan and all of them, they do such an incredible job of recruiting really good guys. And the staff there is awesome. And they're a unit. They're a team. They're a unit. And that's why they win games.
Love it.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a difference. And it always, and it's not just us, it's everybody holding the line. And it's from the top down.
And then you get the opportunity to come to West Point, to come to New York and join into a military academy. I want to hear about, because I mean, it's so crazy how well you, to me, this is just an outsider's perspective, right? So correct me if I'm wrong. Of how well, if I was to guess, when the staff interviewed you, it took 10 minutes and they go, yeah, this guy fits. Because just the way of how you've carried yourself and things you've been a part of, right, over time, and how you fit the mentality at a military academy, you know, like your experience. What did you see when you first, you know, like your first week on staff, the first few training sessions, what stood out to you immediately when you came on staff at Army?
Well, I mean, it was awesome. Like, you know, when I interviewed Coach Hughes and accepted the job, you know, I think it was probably right when he sent me the staff manual right away. And I looked at it, and there's a couple things in there, and it's like, do right, do your best, show people you care, be the thermostat. If something's wrong, fix it. It's just simple stuff that you can do. You know, there's no secret recipe to it. There's no, this is what we're trying to do. These are the objectives of the program. It's do right, do your best, like all the time at a high intensity. We ultimately take ownership of everything. You know, we're not going to rely on our guys, stuff like that. That's what caught my eye, because to me, it was like, man, that's awesome. Now I get to join a part of that and be part of that. And then when I got here, it was the same thing. It was, here's what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to execute it. We're going to coach our face off the whole time. You know, we're going to find the best way to do things. I mean, we're not going to let our guys waste a day. And that was awesome for me. And it makes it a lot easier for me. You know, this job can be stressful when you got things that are going different ways and, you know, you're not really sure how to handle, you know, you got guys that aren't doing the right thing or whatever it is. And then like, but you get here, the guys are great. Everybody on staff here is awesome. They're all bought in. We all know what we're going to do. And we know that from Coach Munkin down to our training staff, to our equipment staff, everybody is committed to us winning games, developing the best team we can. And I mean, there's not a lot of places that are like that.
Right.
So, you know, you come here, it's like, it makes it a lot easier because you know what your job is, you know what you got to do. And we're all here. Like, we don't care what it takes. You got to get the job done.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. And I know that people may say that, you know, especially on social media and to show face, because I mean, you got to represent your employer. You can't say negative things. You can't act that way. But who knows how what's actually going on within certain staffs? You know, you never know. There's you hear through the grapevine of some things working out, some things not, you know, in some areas. And it's just, I bet it's a huge relief to be a part of something where it really is cohesive. Because I've been a part of things where it was and where it wasn't. You know, I've been a part of two different head coaching regimes here at this high school where it was disconnected and now very connected, you know, coming from to how we went 5-6 2 years ago to 10-1 last year, you know, and now we're looking as a state championship favorite this year. So I've seen it too. I know what it's like. I know how that can be very frustrating. Good to hear that's how it is. And I can feel that energy from you guys. You guys are awesome. You guys are straight up. I've had conversations with multiple guys on your staff But as far as execution side, because like at the end of the day, if you look at a strength conditioning program across the board, there's going to be a lot of overlay, a lot of consistency. Everything's going to look very similar. You guys take pride in execution. It's not what we do. It's how we do it. Right. Yep. And we do it on a level you guys don't understand. You know, I'm sure that freshmen come in and go, whoa. Now, but then again, they're signing up to have a whole another level of commitment being in the Army. So they understand that. But talk about when you're in the weight room, what you're demanding as far as execution and why that's the difference maker. Why not what we write on our piece of paper is what matters most, but how we execute things and how you set your guys up for success. Cause you know, there's always that argument of, you know, what squat variation to use or how it should be executed, or, you know, talk about squat depth, how you do this, how you do that. We talk about, like, me and you had the conversation. Was it me and you, or was it me and Coach Hughes about like your dumbbell rows, how you guys just go stupid volume. Like you guys just,
hey, our guys love dumbbell rows.
We don't care. Like we're not going to be super meticulous about it. And I want you to just grip and rip. Well, hey, there's a reason why you do that. Right. I want to hear about the focus you guys take as a staff on execution and why it's so important and why coaches listening to this need to understand that it needs to be a huge focus every rep in the weight room.
Yeah, I mean, when I interviewed with them and even the kind of people that put us in touch, you know, and got us connected, and they even told me ahead of time, like, Coach Hughes isn't looking for a whatever guy, you know, a triphasic guy, kind of. He's not looking for that. He's looking for somebody that can coach. And when I first talked to him, he's like, yeah, we're not going to do anything crazy. We're going to work through the full range of motion on everything that we do at appropriate intensities, appropriate rep ranges. And he'll tell that to anybody that asks him about the program.
Right.
It's that simple. We're going to train everything that we need to train, and we're going to do it the right way. And ultimately it comes down to health. And you know, we can debate about squat depth and all this and that, or how long it takes to teach a clean and things like that. But ultimately, like, nobody has more in the college football setting at the Division I level, nobody has more of a time constraint than the academies do, as far as, you know, like how much time you get throughout the day to train these guys.
Right.
And so when it comes to that, you know, we have to be very deliberate in how we progress these things and slow cook them, if you will. So, you know, our freshmen come in and it's, dude, if we don't get past goblet squat the first couple of weeks, we don't get past goblet squat.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is that going to make or break you as a football player? Not right away. No, but we're looking 4 years in the future. You know, we're looking at how you're going to be down the road. We're setting up patterns and we're getting you to buy into the intent of, you know, I'm going to step under the bar with both feet. I'm going to brace. I'm going to unrack it. I'm going to take two steps back. I'm going to rebrace again. I'm going to go, you know, like all those steps. And I've never seen anybody do it as well as he does. He'll go through every single day and go over the same exact cues every single day. I mean, our seniors have probably just heard it a million times by now. And it's just constantly harping on those things, going back to back and back. And every time they come back, we'll regress things back. You know what I'm saying? We'll go back to doing pauses or doing this and that to work on those things. And it's hard, you know, simple isn't easy. You know, but we'll do those things. And like I said, ultimately it's health. We're going to train you through a full range of motion so that you're used to that. Your body can handle those demands at a full range. And then in the future, we'll change things. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're not going to do the same thing from your first day here to the last day that you're here.
Right.
You know, we got guys that are on different programs now. They do different things. Like, you know, like it's really easy to see on social media, or, you know, kind of see how we portray ourselves that we may only do one thing, but no, the truth is we use a lot of different tools, but the thing is we understand that we play a small role in what they do.
Yeah.
So us trying to find a magic exercise or a magic, you know, way of training isn't going to make or break them as a football player. And you know that the way that we play, like it's a very cohesive way of playing and on both sides of the ball. And, you know, going in and trying to make a guy, you know, to find this exercise to make this guy some freak athlete that isn't really going to happen anyway, isn't going to make us win games or lose games. Ultimately, it's our job to keep him healthy, keep him strong, put some size on him when it needs to be there, and make him more powerful, dominant athletes. Like our mantra is physically dominant every time.
Yeah.
So we have to be not only mentality wise, which our guys are, but we have to be able to physically dominate, you know, bigger opponents, you know, faster opponents, all those things. And that comes down to not only us training the right way, doing general strength work, general power work, all that stuff that we would typically do in a weight room, but, you know, harping on fundamentals, harping on, you know, everything that we do, approach from the everyday in practice, you know, every day, and, you know, going out for a run, everything needs to be dialed in, because if something's missing, we're not getting better at fundamentals, and that's going to be an assignment that's missed in a game. And, you know, that seems to be a lot of things people don't agree with now, but that's fine. You don't have to agree with it, because that's what we believe in, and that's how we're going to win games. And, you know, how you guys handle your program is up to you, but, you know, for us, we are going to absolutely hold the line on the smallest details. And you know what, if our guys can't buy into it, then they're not going to last. And that's the reality. And we don't have those guys. So, I mean, that's kind of how it is. And that's from the weight room. That's everything. So we don't see it as just, it's one part, one facet of their day. It's everything they do. It's in the weight room. It's how we lift, how we set up their progression for 4 years. It's everything.
I don't understand maybe I'm just not a smart guy, but I don't understand the flip side of the coin of avoiding hard things or accountability. You know, toe being on the line matters, because there's people out there that are like, is not going to make or break whether we make a play or not. You know, how we practice and how we go over things preparation wise does. Your toes on the line doesn't matter. But to me, it does, you know, and how you go about your business is going to affect how you go about your business when you prepare. And that's the domino that falls, you know. But at the end of the day, you're not necessarily just preparing these guys to play football, you know, like in the Army. I mean, they're preparing to do something that 99.9% of the people in this world aren't willing to do, and that's take a bullet for their country. And that's something serious. And then you take that mentality onto your family, right? Like my life completely changed as soon as my son was born. Mm-hmm. It changed. I became a new man. Like even my training, my physical training changed. Like it used to be about just, hey, I want to be aesthetic. I want to stay athletic. No, now it's about, the guy that wants to approach my family in my neighborhood at Walmart, that he looks at the man in the family and second guesses coming after me and my family. Being armed and dangerous, so I don't have to be armed and dangerous, is kind of how I look at it. Is that, I don't know if I want to go after that Brandon guy. He looks kind of jacked. I don't know. Like, maybe I'll pick on another family. So that's just an example I use of, like, at the end of the day, we're training people. And that's like why it's so important, you know what I mean, to do hard things. That doesn't mean, now let's flip the script. Can you be bad at implementing the wrong hard things? I think so. You know, like things that don't translate. It's not good to make things hard for the sake of just being hard. You know, like you're not going to burpee somebody into being disciplined. You're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to, at the end of the day, if it's 107 degrees and 90% humidity, it doesn't make you soft if you decide to practice inside, you know, like it doesn't make you soft. Like, tell me kind of how you guys like walk that fine line. Cause like, I'm not sure how, I mean, at Army, it's a totally different deal because you guys are preparing for way more than just football. And the kids are a different mentality wise, but maybe just reflecting on your time at West Florida, or even when you were at the high school ranks, where you see the fine line, like what makes the difference between doing hard things that's going to be translatable or transferable to life or our athletics or sports performance, and where it gets lost in the weeds of, like, because I think the people that are kind of moving against the do hard things are seeing it from a perspective where they have somewhat of a point, right? We can play both sides there. Like, shed some light on that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with what you're saying as far as, like, people are probably thinking of specific examples, and they could be right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. Do we need to do, you know, endless like towel pushes or, you know, burpees or, you know, like, yeah, no, probably not. You know, especially once you get to this level where you're dealing with 18 to 22 year old guys, like, no, like you got to get to them a different way. And I learned that too, as a GA, like, you know, we had a no cussing kind of PG mentality there. So you can't really get really into a kid hard there the same way that you can at different places. You know what I mean?
So, oh, yeah. Hey, I work at a Christian institution. It's the exact same way. I understand.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, you have to kind of learn how to really get under guys' skins in different ways. And I think that's ultimately how you get to them. And obviously, just like it's cliche, but, you know, your guys got to know that you love them and you trust them.
Yeah.
And they got to trust you that you have their best interests. So, but yeah, like, you know, it comes down to knowing what you're doing too as a coach. Like, we're not going to pro guy. Like, I do our running and stuff like that. Like, we're not going to go out and run 300s for the sake of doing that because it's hard.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to go out and whatever our conditioning may be, we're going to do it the exact way that I described it because that's hard.
Yeah.
Following directions and doing things the right way is hard. You know, you may be a little fatigued, but doing it that way is hard. Not, I'm going to program this exercise with this method because it's hard to make them tougher. That's where the kind of like, I guess the different definitions of people that have on it get a little cloudy. And to me, that's where the line is. And for us, we may do stuff that people don't agree with, and that's fine. But everything that we do has a specific intent and an adaptation that we want from it. And we're going to hold the line on that. You know, like we'll be in the middle of the season. If Coach Munkin or one of us sees something that he doesn't like in the warm-up, we'll start the whole warm-up over. Like, that's fine. We'll miss out on a period because we're starting the warm-up over. Because if we're not ready to go by the time that warm-up's over, we're wasting a period anyway.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately how we look at it. It's all mentality. And we're such technicians here, not only in the weight room, but our football staff, they are absolute technicians with how they teach the fundamentals here. And we have to be. And so if we waste a period because our guys aren't warmed up, that's on us.
Yeah.
And that's how we look at it. And, you know, people may not see it that way, but, you know, the Coach Hugh says all the time, the margin of error in college football is extremely small.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a matter of one guy missing an assignment that could lose a game. And it comes down to that every single time. And so, like, for us to say that, like, we're not going to hold the line, we're not going to do hard things, is just wrong. Like, because even from a purely physiological standpoint, if you're not doing hard things, you're probably not adapting to anything.
Yeah, correct.
You're not causing any stimulus, right? So, you know, we're always trying to find this new thing to do that yields this big stimulus. But, like, ultimately, like, it's going to come down to doing the consistent work over a long period of time.
Everybody wants to talk about recovery modalities, but you got to have something to recover from in the first place.
Exactly.
You know, like if you're not training hard, I mean, what are you recovering from? You know, you can, I don't care. You can get your 8 hours and drink your bottle of water and have your nutrition dialed in. But if you're not training hard, especially for tissue, you know, tissue capabilities that can handle certain things and being able to be durable, you talk about health. Right. At the end of the day, it's the athlete that can withstand the most beating. I mean, I can't imagine another team in college football than the academies that take more beatings because you hold the ball for a long time. You run the option. You are physical downhill defense. This is where we live. We're going to hold the ball from you. We're going to outlast you and we're going to hit you in the face more often until you're sick of it. Like you can see that on the field and. Yeah. In order to like, it's if you can't get past play six in a drive when it really matters, because we got shoulders separating, we've got hamstrings tweaking, that's where the X's and O's comes into play as well, right? You have to be smart about how you implement, like you said, you implement your running, about how you manage your volumes, like when are we running what? Looking at the plan and what we're doing in practice. You also look over your GPS data and all the things that go into you thinking. Is this going to help best prepare our bodies to be able to win games? Right. Yeah. And that's where I think a lot of coaches miss the boat. And honestly, definitely. when you look at it as you reverse engineer of the end product of the goal of winning games. Okay. What's our playing style? It's rough. We need to be prepared for that. Okay. What do we do in practice? Well, we need to, in order to win games, we got to practice well and be healthy in practice. Okay. We got to prepare for that. And then, at the end of the day, you guys are going to draw up on the board that, well, boys, preparation in order to play this style and do this is freaking hard.
Yep.
Welcome to it, right? And this is a non-negotiable. This is what we have to do. So you can't just, that's why I can't get with the mentality of you can just walk on the field and like, and I'm not hating on Tony Holler, because he's brought a lot of light to a lot of hard stone coaches. I really do. As far as tired is the enemy, don't burn the stake, which a lot of those principles are very true. But at the end of the day, in football, you can't just try to train to play fresh all the time. Like, fatigue is a part of the game.
Yeah. You know, and even in a year like this year, you're going to have guys that are gone.
Yeah.
You know, like with COVID, I mean, you don't know like how many guys you're going to have at a position. You know what I mean? And especially with the way we play, you may have a 15, 16 play drive.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to win the game. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, I mean, it's all good, and it's all nice to want to train everything really streamlined and you know, make everything super, you know, super great on paper. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to train just the athlete. They have to adapt to something to be better than when they walked in. You know, strictly looking at things from, you know, just the performance side of it is missing the boat. I think we're looking a little too far and trying to be too involved at some points. You know, like you said, do we need to track, you know, volumes and track practice? Absolutely. At this level, absolutely. And Coach Monken is one of the best at looking at analytics and making decisions. Yeah. He's completely bought into our GPS, and that's awesome. But you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, we're not looking at that stuff, you know, and making these big decisions or doing those type of things. We're using it to validate what we're seeing on the field and having more information to make changes.
You know? There you go. Yeah. That's a great point. I want you guys to understand that that's what it is. You know, it's not fancy dashboards. It's not cool visualizations. It's more information to make better decisions. Right. And a lot of people, and like you said, if it starts with your head coach being bought in, that's where it starts. I mean, information's useless if it's not bought in from the top down. And I want you to shed a little bit of light on what that looks like sports science wise with you guys, like how you guys utilize exactly what you just said, right? How do we attack our strategy? Cause it's constantly changing. The formula in order to be successful is always changing. That's why you can't program for a whole year, like down to the, you know, to every rep, because things change constantly. Guys getting tweaked, guys getting hurt, weather changes, you know, things happening. There's so many variables that you have to keep going. Like when it comes to sports science with you guys at Army football, how is that a difference maker? Like when you look at it, you've been there, you've seen it. How has it became a difference maker for those that understand that this is how we use it and this is why it's important?
Yeah. I mean, when I first got here, the head assistant here, he's at Illinois now, but GC was, he kind of like taught me a lot more with GPS and how they kind of looked at it here. And it was very simple. It was, you know, you can kind of go down a lot of rabbit holes with this technology and look at a lot of stuff. And that was the one thing that we didn't want to do here.
Yeah.
Coach Monken is an extremely intelligent person, and he's going to listen to analytics, but he's going to challenge you, and he's going to make sure that you know exactly what it means, because he wants to know what it means.
Yeah.
And so for us, that means we had to find a couple metrics that, you know, in a broad sense, would kind of wrap up what was going on in practice. And so we kind of did that. We tracked it for a couple of years. And then this year, kind of going back, and especially during the spring, we had a couple years of data now that we can kind of look at.
Yeah.
And so basically, like, we'll look at it and we'll look at it live during practice. And if some guy looks crazy, way over his numbers, we'll say something. And sometimes it doesn't mean he gets reps taken off, but right. He may get reps taken out of a special teams period or something like that. Something that's not as intense or things like that. But for the most part, I'll give him the report the next morning, and Coach Hughes will take it to the staff meeting and he'll tell them, like, look, our loads were higher than our typical Tuesday practice looks like. You know, most of our practices are all the same from the previous year. So the model kind of looks similar. And we've kind of made adjustments this past year, you know, towards the back end of the week on how we practice to give our guys more rest. But, you know, like you said, ultimately you got to do things hard. You know, our Tuesday and Wednesday practices are hard. And they have to be that way for the way that we play. But what we know now is, like, we know certain averages by position. We know averages by the team, this and that, and even individual guys' averages. So, you know, I'll look at it and, you know, if Basically, that's just what my job is. I'll go back and look, and then I'll write in some notes that like, hey, these couple guys might be running a little hot. Let's watch these guys. Let's maybe pull them out of special teams on Friday.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Just it's not this groundbreaking thing. It's just making good decisions off of it based off of what you see.
Right.
And you don't have to, there doesn't have to be certain numbers. And that's the thing, like, especially with how we play, our numbers are going to look way different than a spread team.
Right.
For practice or game. So, you know, it's going to look different. So you have to be able to just kind of look at what you're seeing on paper, what it's looked like in the past, and be able to make a decision, especially for your priority guys. You know, like if I got a guy that's running really hot for a couple of straight days, like I'm going to write that in the notes because I don't want that information to get passed, then not get passed along. Mm-hmm. You know, if he wants to make that decision to keep him going, he can make that decision. But for my end, I'm going to at least provide him the information because I know that he will at least look at it and understand that it's real information. So, you know, like I said, we don't go super deep down into it, but we've looked at a couple more things this past year, but we're not going to go super deep into the rabbit hole of the GPS, but we have a good enough, you know, kind of baseline to understand how to manage our team during practice. And I think that's the most important thing, you know, yeah. as opposed to necessarily tracking the running and the conditioning, which we'll do. But the most important thing is being able to manage the up and down of the intensity throughout the week and throughout the year. And so that, like I said, like it's simple, you know, we're not gonna, you know, my boss at West Florida used to always tell me like, don't create a monster that you don't need. Like, yeah. don't add something in there that you have to continue to do now that isn't going to give you a lot of value or give you a lot of actionable information. So, yeah, like I said, it's simple. We're going to do that. You know, we're not going to make it super complicated.
I'm glad you said that. You brought a lot of light into that, and that if you walk backwards of what it can give you is because like you said, something you can consistently track that's going to give you actual information and then gives you a broad scope of things and looking at it from a macro view, from a bird's eye view of what happened in the year. Because then the last thing you want to do, because this is already hard enough, is when an injury happens or patterns start to develop and you aren't on top of it. Like, we don't know what happened. You know, we don't know if it was, we saw a trend. Now I don't think you're ever really going to know, you know, like, because it's freak accidents, right? Injuries happen, but you will see trends over time and you can at least mitigate that risk. Like you said, hey, let's take this guy out of the special teams period. I think that's smart. Or at least pass, hey, guys, run a little hot. These are some areas you could take him out today. Coach, it's on you, right? Eventually, it's your decision because at the end of the day, we have to get reps to prepare to win. I mean, you know, it's not about, we're feeling a little tired, you know. Yeah. So.
and that's what, like you said, like you're never going to have a hard line or a hard number that you can like confidently say, like, I'm going to cut him here because he's going to be injured. You know, like, but you'll see it. You'll see a guy that'll pop up on the screen and it'll be like, that's way higher than the other couple of days. And then, you know, like you don't want to be the next day he pulls a hamstring because you didn't say anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's like, I mean, and even this past spring, like our guys were just in really good shape, really powerful, really strong, really fast. And, you know, with the extra days of rest in the spring, you can kind of practice a little bit harder. So, I mean, our spring numbers are just averages were just through the roof, but our guys were recovered.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we're 4 or 5 days in, and I'm continually seeing these really high days. And so, you know, I'm just like, let's keep watching it. Let's be cautious with them. Let's keep watching when we can, especially certain positions, just because like we're not used to seeing this consistent high number. Now, like I said, granted, we know there's a day between practices, and that's probably why they're able to do that. But let's keep watching it. And then after a while, like it goes on, and like our younger guys keep watching them. I don't know what his average typically is. But like I know some of my older guys, like some guys run hotter than others. They'll run, you know, they'll run all over the place all the time and like they can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But like some guys, like you've got freshmen in the same position group running the same amount. Like, dude, I don't know if that kid can handle it yet. He hasn't proven to me over a long period of time that he can. So it's really just it's being a coach
off
of the number.
There you go.
It's the same thing. You know, there's no secret formula. There's none of that stuff. It's just looking at it and being able to make a coaching decision off of it.
Yeah. So that's it. You hit the nail on the head, being a coach, you know, just be a coach, man. It's at the end of the day, you got to be a human and understand that you're also coaching humans and that the context matters. We're going to segue a little bit to a topic that I think is pretty polarizing in the field, and you hear it so many different ways. And in high school, it's crazy. Football coaches in high school, at least in the South, if you ain't power cleaning, you're wasting your time, you know, that's, you hear that crap all the time, you know, and it's always power clean, not just the clean, and who cares about the wording, the language, whatever. But I want to hear it from Brandon, from you, coach, that let's walk through the clean. You have an Olympic weightlifting background, so you have it from that aspect too, like actually competing in the sport on top of how it translates to sport. Like, everybody these days wants to say that, oh, you're wasting your time, it's too technical, trap bar jump, med ball throw, problem fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that simple, right?
No.
I want to hear it from you. I really want to hear your take on why it's important.
Yeah, I mean, my big issue is there's the two arguments of it's too hard to teach and it takes too long. It takes too long, it's too hard, and there's better things that you could be doing.
Right.
So my argument is when we're looking at specifically for college football or even high school football, mm-hmm. you're looking at a 4-year development plan. And especially at Division I level, you got guys in the summer, like you have a long time to train them. Like, yeah, like we always say, we wish we had more time, but in the reality of things, like you got a lot of time to train these guys. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what we said before, not even relating to the clean, but just even the squat, every type of exercise we do. Taking a slow cook approach at the beginning, like, will set you up in the long run. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing with the clean. Like, we'll start a pull from the hip or from the high hang and do that for 2 weeks if our guys can't figure out how to do it the right way. And that's fine. We're okay with that. We'll take time because we know down the road it's going to give us a big stimulus. And the second part of that is you're talking about time. Like, okay, I'll see your argument of the trap bar. Like, I've used trap bar jumps, used barbell jumps, all that stuff. Like, we did all that stuff in West Florida. We did them with cleans. We did them with snatches, with jerks. We used all of it. Like, we're not married to one thing. But my argument is we always talk about the law of accommodation or talking about different adaptations. You're going to tell me that you can trap bar jump for 4 years and that fourth year still be getting a benefit from it. Like, I just have a hard time buying into the long-term benefits of it.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to deny the numbers and the science behind the exercise. They're great exercises. I think they have a place. I've used them. You know, we'll use them with different guys, with our elite guys, our older guys. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about developing an 18 to 22-year-old guy or even younger at the high school level, you're really limiting yourself of the type of movement variability that you can give somebody.
Okay.
You know, we're only teaching somebody how to jump, and I'm not a biomechanist or whatever. I'm not a sports science person, but I can tell you from experience that a clean is a 100% different motion than a loaded jump. Yeah. It's different. The kinematics are different. The way that your knees and your hips and your ankles move and have to navigate around a barbell are different. And somebody that knows what they're talking about with Olympic lifts can make that adaptation even different by changing from a block, this height, this and that. I mean, there's so many different things that you can do, and you can open up a world of different adaptations and stimulus by doing that. Whereas with the jump, it's like, dude, you're really limited. And you don't, unless you have technology, unless you have force plates and all this other technology to measure it, like, how do you know what you're doing is getting better? You know, on the flip side, you know, like, I know some people probably saying like, wow, we probably just push cleans for the most weight. We don't, you know, we want our guys to look good, move fast and be violent. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't take, a tendo or anything to tell us that it does that. We don't need VBT to tell us that something's violent.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest issue with that is if you have the capability to coach it, you have the athletes that are healthy enough to do it and you have the time, why not? You know what I mean? Like there's great things that we do too. Like we're still going to clean pull. We're still going to do, accommodating resistance. We're still going to do jerks. We're still going to do other things to develop power. Like we get so caught up in, oh my God, you're going to clean. Like that's the worst thing you can do. But yeah, it's a snippet of an entire 4 years of a program.
Right.
you know, we got guys that don't do that in their junior, senior. We got guys that just trap bar jump or things like that. Like, yeah, there are different times where we do that. But, you know, ultimately we're arguing about something that's really small in the grand scheme of things, because you're talking about a trap bar jump to a clean when really, like, what matters is what we're doing on the field. Like, what's our speed work look like? What does our plyo progressions look like? You know, like, dude, we're out there doing, you know, bounds and standing triple jumps and hurdle jumps, but like, we're sitting here arguing over if we're doing a clean or a trap bar jump. Like, dude, they're getting the stimulus that they need. We're training general abilities by doing these other links. So, like, you know, like I said, the big piece that people aren't talking about is the long-term effect of it.
Yeah.
You know, peaking, that's awesome. Yeah, you do some trap bar jumps, it'd be great for that. You know, like, you got injuries, awesome. You can't teach it, awesome. You know, you got 100 people in here and it's just you. Yeah, maybe it's probably not the best thing for you to do.
Right.
There's valid arguments for not doing it, but the fact that there's just something easier to do that, you know, has shown in a couple studies that it has these great numbers, like, that doesn't, to me, it's not enough. And to kind of add on to that, like, I know, like, VBT on Olympic lifts has been a big thing. And I, you know, I've kind of played around with it a little bit, but I think there's something missing in that too. I think if we look at just what the bar is doing, just solely on that, we are missing a piece of the puzzle, because, you know, you can move a bar really fast and not really do a lot with your body. You know what I'm saying? Like, especially from different body types, like
100%.
So we really, from the very beginning, really preach on getting our guys to feel a certain thing, to feel a certain way, feel a certain connection to the bar and to the ground, feel a certain motion rather than just trying to replicate this, because it's going to be slightly different. We give them kind of constraints and kind of let them go with that. You know, we're not going to harp on little things like how much of an arm bend the guy has. I don't care. Like, get to positions and execute. I want to look at what your body's doing as well as what the bar's doing. Because like, you can have a great, perfect bar path and it looks fine and it moves really fast on the tendo, but like, your body's not moving really violently. And that can happen in a lot of different ways. And ultimately, like, that's what it needs to be. Like, I don't care what the bar is doing. I want to know what your body's doing.
Right.
And so that's like another thing that I'm like, kind of, I think people are missing out on, is that we can't totally quantify what happens in the clean just based off of measuring it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are kind of pushing away from it, is they want to know exactly what it is. But like, dude, you're never going to.
Yeah.
And there's a piece there, especially for our guys. There's such a physicality side of it that they love, and that if you truly sell that to people, they will eat it up, because it's physical. It's not, it's hard. It is physical. It's violent. It's not the same as going and, you know, blocking somebody or making an attack on the open field, but it's physical.
Yeah.
It's a full body violent motion that's explosive, and it is physical, and it takes a lot of mental effort to execute. And really, that's what it fits exactly with what we want to do as a program.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't buy into the whole there's easier things to do, because at some point you're going to fill that cup up and it's going to not give you the same response. You know? Right.
Yeah, I love that, and I'll give my spill on it too, because I want everybody to hear where I agree and what I see from my experience, especially running the clean for 4 years at a high school now, and that. I think that it's so imperative for what it gives you. And as far as the physical side of things, yes, violent extension of the hips, but also violent reflexion of the hips, like being able, what's called impulse, right? Like seeing a guy rip under the bar, because tell me if I'm wrong, you watch these guys, like I reposted the other day, I don't know the guy's name, but that dude pulled the bar off. It looked like a grindy deadlift. And then the dude's hips and how fast he got under the bar to set a junior world record. It was unbelievable.
And how do you quantify that?
No idea. Like, no idea.
Exactly. And so that's the problem, is people don't understand that value because they haven't done that.
Yeah.
People that haven't experienced like a 400-pound barbell barely coming off the ground and then being able to use that impulse and fly under it and reflexively pull under. Like, we talk about all these different things, but like there's another piece of that puzzle that's there that people are not understanding. And what is sprinting? Sprinting, maximal impulse, reflex every single time.
Yep, 100%.
It's the same thing.
I think that the clean also teaches coordination. That's a big thing that people don't understand. And you hear, I'm so glad that like Matt Ray and those guys at Alabama who have this stupid platform now are fine. They've been preaching it for years, but about like, it's not just, you know, the muscle coordination of things is a huge piece in being powerful. It's a huge piece in teaching rate of force development. And the clean requires a lot more coordination than a trap bar jump. It does. You know, that's why that people struggle in that and not in trap bar jumps. Now, you may see it on a force plate. You may see power production go way higher, but you're missing. You can't quantify coordination.
No, you can't.
You know, it's something you have to see with your own eyes as a coach.
And that's why I was saying, like, that's why we teach everything almost by feel. You know, we start everybody from the hip, which is really the high hang. We call it the hip, though.
Sure, sure.
And we want everything to, we want you to feel the contraction and the extension every single time through your quads and your glutes and your hips, like everything. So whatever variation that is, we want you to feel that. And that's where it gets missed. And that's why people, I think, are a little standoffish with the cleans, because they see maybe bad cleans or not as good cleans being done. And that's probably why. But like, you come in and you watch like our guys as a whole clean, they may not clean the most weight, but they're going to do it violently and it's going to look the same every rep. And you're going to see their hips drive. And it's not just this heaving motion. It's a vertical torso driving your hips through and catch. You know what I'm saying? It's leg and hip drive. It's everything that football is.
I love that word. You know, there's a lot of people that use the word pull, finish your pull. And I think I've heard it from you. I've heard it from one of my buddies, Brendan Herring, who's a good high school strength coach. Active on social media, using the word drive, 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 drive. You know, I've got that from you guys. That's a change, mentality changing cue, in my opinion, in order to be able to execute the clean really well. Another side of the clean that I think is super important is, like, I've never heard a kid tell me that they felt badass after doing a trap bar jump. I've just had it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to commit, like, walking into this thing and like, all right, we're going to learn the clean and we're going to break it down. So now you're going to have to commit to a process that's not going to be rewarding in the beginning. You're not going to see some huge lift in the beginning. You're going to have to commit to learning this. You're going to have to learn the coordinations of it. You're going to have to learn the intricacies of it, what I want you to feel. That mentality alone is also what we're trying to do with practice. Yeah. You know, just taking it of, hey, I've got to commit to this. This is not going to be easy, but I'm going to set myself up for way bigger things down the road. Like you said earlier, that's the same approach you guys take with your young guys. We're going to teach, we're going to teach, we're going to teach, because the stimulus down the road will be bigger if we sell short now.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. So we're not trying to, you know, we're not running a sales pitch on the clean here. It's just something that we believe in. Right. And that it's different strokes for different folks, different things for different situations. And I get it. Like you said, 100 guys in one room, just you, and you don't feel comfortable do it, then don't. It's probably the better coaching decision. Yeah. Be a coach, make the right decision, you know, and go from there. But man, we've been going for an hour now. I think we could talk all day, you know, and I know guys at Army are, you know, you're starting up in the summer. You guys are rolling along. Everybody's really busy. Things are starting to go back to normal now, which is really good. And man, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. Almost guarantee we'll have more conversation deeper down the road, and we can dive in on some other things, especially as I start to get more feedback on what I feel like coaches want to hear. But man, I just appreciate you for what you stand for in the field, what you do, and how you go about your work. That's setting an example in this field that's lacking professionalism on a lot of different levels is a really good thing, and continue to being hard as far as holding your line is super important. You know what I mean? And just, I want you to keep doing that, man. I just appreciate you for what you do.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me this platform. And you know, like I said, I'm a young guy. I'm not some scientist. I'm a PhD, but you know, like I've had some great mentors and I work with a lot of great people. So, I mean, anything that I could pass along that we've worked on together, it's always a good chance to do that. And I'm grateful for it.
Oh, shoot. Hold on. I forgot to ask you the question I ask everybody on my podcast, and I want to reword it. And this doesn't have to be a long answer from you unless you just want it to be. I used to say, what do you hate about this profession? I'm going to flip that. That's a negative. I'm getting rid of that. Where do you feel like we need to grow the most Where do you feel like we need to grow the most as strength coaches, as a profession, young profession that's not 80 years as a profession, maybe? Where do you think we need to grow as professionals, do you see? I want to hear from you. I've asked everybody on the show. I almost forgot, but I'm glad I caught it before I let you go. So where do you feel like we need to grow as professionals?
You can sum it up into one sentence. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not, you know, it's never about promoting ourselves. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like, and I get it. There's a lot of like issues with people, you know, not making a lot of money. You want to promote yourself and business side of it. That's separate. It's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I mean, it's not about you. It's about your program. It's about the coach you work for. It's about the players that you work with. It's about the success that you guys have. It's being 10 toes down where you're at, being present where you're at, no matter you're at the high school level, you're at the Division II level or the Division I level. I've been in all of them. Like, make where you're at the biggest spot. We get too caught up in, especially a lot of young coaches, that we get too caught up in, I need to promote myself this way, or I need to, you know, I need to do this for me, or I need to be like, make, you know, promote my brand. Like, that's all good. But like, your work is going to be your brand, yeah. You know, like the results that you have, the relationships that you create and you build are going to speak for themselves. Like, if you worry about doing the job and being a coach, not worried about trying to find the next best thing or trying to do this or trying to find some niche that nobody's found yet, like, you're going to miss out on a lot. And if you just focus on being in it with everybody and being part of the team, like, and stuff's going to come along for it, you know? And like, I'm saying that, like, I've been around and been all these different jobs, but you know, I can just speak from experience. Like, every place that I've been fully involved in that place, mm-hmm. to a point where like, that was the only thing that matters, yeah. is the success of that place. You know, not to the point where like, you know, my whole rest of my life's falling apart, but you know, like, I'm not worried about the next step. I'm worried about what do we have to do here to get the job done? And that's what everybody's mentality needs to be in. And I think a lot of things would solve themselves. I think people would probably interact with each other better on social media if it wasn't about trying to be, you know, trying to program for social media or trying to prove a point to other people or, yeah. you know, you do this. It's just like, dude, do your job really well. And that's all you need to be concerned about. You know what I mean? Do the job, do it the right way. It's not about you.
And at the end of the day, it comes down to insecurity. And I can only speak to that because of my own growth as a human. Mm-hmm. And I admit early, I mean, you can even look at it 2 or 3 years ago, I was probably not the person you'd want to be involved with on social media because I felt like I was kind of at a crossroads of what I believed in. I thought I was a good coach. I felt like I needed to prove things to people. Now, did I know that consciously then? No. It took some self-reflection to learn that. Now, do I still come off as abrasive? Maybe. I'm not scared to call people out. I'm in a position yeah. that I can do that. But in a tasteful way. And now I just want to, hey, I'm going to show you what we do. Do you want to talk about it? Cool. Yeah. Love to. You don't agree? Awesome. You want to talk about it? Like, that's all it is. Like, hey, open the door for conversation. Yeah. And like you said, we're the supplement, not the show. You know, we're yeah. just a part. I'm just happy to be a part. You know, like, about, like, my baseball coach came in here earlier today and was like, hey, next year, I'd love to get where we can get 3 workouts in, maybe 2 in the afternoon as a team, 1 in your class, and can in the other class period, you think my guys can go long toss? And I was like, absolutely. We need our guys' arms to develop. It's important to make sure we're ready to go on the field. 3 years ago, I'd have been pissed at that. And I hate to admit that, but it's true. Are you going to take away my time? God, so selfish, you know? And that took a lot of reflection on me, and thankful that I had friends in the industry that cared enough about me to check me. You know, mm-hmm. and that's one thing that our head coach preaches and multiple head coaches preaches here is that, like, have the courage to stand for something and believe in something, but also have the humility that when somebody checks you to be willing to be coached. Us coaches yeah. need to be willing to be coached too by each other. And I think that's a big deal. So thanks, man. I didn't want to forget that question. Answered it beautifully. You answered it beautifully. And I hope every coach takes that to heart, to understand that it really ain't about us, man. It really ain't. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to help people. You know, we're trying to help people get where they want to go and get the job done. So if anybody want to reach out to you and have a conversation with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Shoot, I don't even know what my name is, honestly. I don't know.
It's not Be Nasty anymore. So
yeah, I think Coach B Ray is on there. You guys can, I mean, I'm on social media. I try to stay a little pretty active on there as much as I can. Yeah, I mean, reach out to me anytime on there. I'll always try to answer questions or have conversations. It, like I said, it makes us better. If there's something that we can do to make our guys better, we'll definitely listen to it. So
awesome. Good deal. Well, thanks, Brendan. I appreciate your time. And you guys continue getting after it this summer.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Thank you so much.
Good deal. See you guys next week.